Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Bread of Life, Faith and Works Community Church Lecture Series, hosted by Pastor David Allman. God bless you all. It is beautiful out. We are having an interesting early spring. No snow in the forecast. We're going to be bouncing between cooler temperatures and warmer temperatures, but only rain in the forecast. How about that? What a blessing from the Lord, an early spring. We sure could use that after the last few winters and late springs and cold summers. Last couple of summers were definitely very cool. Let's begin with a word of prayer. And rejoice in the Lord God. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are moving in our midst. Thank you for an early spring. Thank you that you, O God, are sovereign over all things. And because you are sovereign, we can trust you to take each one of us through each and everything that we must go through in life. Heavenly Father, we ask you now to forgive us of our sins, to wash us and cleanse us through the precious blood of Jesus, and restore us to you. We invite you, Holy Spirit, now, come and guide us through your caring ways into the teachings of the book of Mishle, the book of Proverbs, within the realm of the wisdom and the knowledge of the Father. May you have your way with each one of us, and be glorified in this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. On our first Friday lecture series last Friday, we finished up with verse 26 in chapter 10 in the book of Mishle and the book of Proverbs. We are going to be able to, if time permits, finish chapter 10 and pick up with chapter 11 next week. Let's read verse 27, excuse me, from the Hebrew translation into English. The fear of Hashem will increase days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. The fear of Hashem, and Hashem, as a reminder to everyone, is the Hebrew word for the most sacred name of God. The Hebrew letters are Yod-Heh, Vav-Heh. We pronounce it Yahweh. In the King James version of the Bible, you will notice the word Jehovah. That is the word Yahweh, Jehovah. Just a reminder again for those who may not know, the Jews truly believe that if they wrote or did anything that would be slandering, misspelling, speaking the name, if they did anything wrong with the name Yahweh, they thought that God would kill them in an instant. They thought they would just keel over dead. So they derived this name Hashem, and Hashem represents the most sacred name of God. Now, the fear of Hashem, we understand from past sessions in this lecture series that the fear of Hashem does not mean to be afraid. It does not mean to be scared of God. It does not mean that we are to be frightened by God. It means that we are to honor, to reverence, and to respect God for who he is. When we truly fear God, to honor, reverence, and respect for who He is, our days are increased. It is a blessing of the Lord when one truly fears God that their days are lengthened. I've said this before, if I would have continued the life that I was leading in my BC days with drugs, alcohol, the occult, and womanizing, the wicked way in which I was living, I don't think I would be alive today. I truly believe that I would have died either by a drug overdose or by some type of early death by disease or at the hands of another. In everything that I've learned, my days have been extended from where it was going because I began to fear God. The second part, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. I find that very interesting because when we look at Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, we look at other actors and actresses and musicians who are more in the limelight than the average person, many have had their lives shortened because of their wicked ways. Now, one of the psalmists in the book of Psalms was wondering why some of the wicked, their lives were long and prosperous. But then the psalmist went into the house of God and then understood their end. Their end was not nice. They were going to be going to hell and then eventually in the future here, the lake of fire for eternal punishment. Their end is not nice. But let's take a look at our commentary. We're going to be looking at Rabbi Ralbag. And Rabbi Ralbag says, someone who fears Hashem will merit additional days of life beyond those normally allotted to him or her, for divine providence will protect him from happenings that would have caused his or her death. Furthermore, Rabbi Ralbag says the wicked will have their allotted years of life shortened because of their sins. Now, Rabbi Bacha expounds on this further, and we won't be going into his quote, but he restates what Rabbi Ralbag says, but in a much lengthier statement, a very too long paragraph. But we would like to focus on one aspect here that the mitzvah, which is the practicing of a commandment of God, by what the Kohanim, Gedolim, within the high priest of the first and second temples, they stated that there was a direct correlation between merit, that's doing the mitzvah, and longevity, or long life. But they also stated that there is a direct correlation to the wicked and their shortened life. So it's very clear and cut and dry right there. If you fear God, long life. If you are wicked, short life. Does that mean that a person who walks in Jesus Christ, whose life is shortened, there was something there that was wicked? No, I'll disagree with that. The most important thing we have to understand is sometimes we find ourselves in a position with an attack from the kingdom of darkness that will shorten our life. Cancer is one of them. Spinal meningitis is another one. There's a killer right there. God is a good God. He does not put sickness and diseases or any evil thing upon you. It is Satan and his kingdom of darkness that wants to shorten your life. If you have something in your life that he knows that God is in the midst of birthing within you or have called you to do to advance his kingdom, and as a result of that, lives will be changed and Satan is going to lose a great number of people out of his kingdom into the kingdom of God, he's going to readily choose to attack you. But we can stand firm in the faith by the blood of Jesus, because the word of God in Peter says, looking back to the cross, we were healed, while in Isaiah it looks to the cross and says that we are healed. In everything that I have learned, if we will stand upon the word of God and fight the diseases with the word of God and don't speak death into our life, rather speak the very word of God, the life of him who has set us free from sickness and death and every evil thing, it is there that we find that we can have life and be set free from these oppressive diseases or any type of debilitating disease that would cause you and prevent you from doing the work that God has called you to do. A few years ago, Kenneth Copeland injured his back. He had a disc that actually literally exploded when it ruptured and did more damage to his spinal bone structure. A blessing that the spinal cord was not ruptured. He was in extreme pain. Barely could walk, barely could sleep, couldn't hardly sit, lay, whatever position. He stood upon the word of God. God miraculously healed him. The doctor has a before and after picture. He never did surgery on the man. And I've seen the before and the after pictures, as they were put on the screen in the conference that I was at of his victory campaigns and conferences down in Milwaukee. And you can readily see the rupture on one, and then you can see how God miraculously healed him. It's like he has a brand new spine. Creflo Dollar, Pastor Creflo Dollar, he received a death notice, cancer, severe cancer. You're only going to live maybe 6 months. He took a 30-day sabbatical, immersed himself in the Word of God, stood upon the Word of God, prayed and declared healing, and stood upon the Word, took a sabbatical. 30 days later, went back to the doctor, completely and totally healed. I've seen in my Christian walk in the past, in different churches that I've been in, blind, 100% blind, healed, terminal cancer, healed. People who couldn't walk got up and walked. These are the very essences of what God is. He wants to bring life into you. So therefore, he wants to increase your days if you fear him and walk in his ways. Verse 28. The expectation of the righteous is gladness, but the hope of the wicked will go lost. For those of us who are in Jesus, righteousness is imputed or placed upon us through Jesus. So we have, if we are truly living for Jesus, an expectation for gladness. We should not be walking in gloom and despair and depressions. If you're walking in gloom and despair and depression, then might I say, look to Isaiah, worship the Lord God, for the spirit of praise will lift the spirit of heaviness. To that myself. Several years ago, I was very, very deeply, deeply depressed over my daughter leaving my wife and I in all the wrong ways and walking out on us. As an immature adult, due to her handicapped status, we felt she wasn't ready for what she did. She wanted out. She was listening to all the wrong people. She was listening to people who are not of God. And I became very deeply, deeply depressed. And I knew in that state that I needed to act just like King David did. Why be cast down, my soul? Hope thou in God, for God will bring you through. I began to worship. I began to praise. I began to be lifted out of that spirit of depression. Patience of the righteous is gladness. We should be walking in the joy of the Lord. For those of you who are listening, who are in darkness and despair and gloom and depression, there is hope. Stand upon the scriptures and worship God. It is the greatest cure for deep depression. For I've experienced it myself. Ah, but the hope of the wicked will go lost. The wicked truly do not have any hope. What hope does the wicked have when their end is hell and eventually the lake of fire? They don't have any hope. They're lost. Millionaires and billionaires have gotten much of their financial gain by wicked means, they're at the end of their life. They're spending much of their money to pay doctors to get whatever their body needs so they can stay living. They don't want to die. They don't want to die because there's no hope. They don't have no hope. There is no hope for the wicked. We are going to look at Rabbi Vilna Gaon for a quote, "The expectation of the righteous is for a long-awaited desire, whereas the hope of the wicked is for something anticipated in the immediate future. The righteous do not look for an immediate reward for their good deeds in this world. Rather, they await the good that they will receive in the world to come. Their hopes will be realized, and they will rejoice with their eternal reward. However, the wicked people's yearning for immediate pleasure is in vain, for their way will perish." Eventually, they will perish, and there is no hope for the wicked. The only hope that the wicked can declare is to repent, give their life over to Jesus, and then live for Jesus. There is only one way and one hope that can be for the wicked if they accept the salvation of the Lord God and turn from their wicked ways. That is the only hope that they can attain and be brought into the true hope within Jesus. There is no other hope for the wicked. Verse 29. "The way of Hashem is a stronghold for the innocent, but a ruin to the workers of iniquity." Hashem is a stronghold for the innocent. The Apostle Paul, what crime did he commit as he was preaching the word of God? And they took him out of the city and stoned him and left him dead. He got up and walked away and went to the next city and started preaching. And then returned back to the city where he was stoned and began preaching again. The way of Hashem is a stronghold for the innocent. The Apostle Paul lived a very long life. He lived to be what we would consider today as elderly in age. And then he was put to death by Caesar in the end. But he said, "I have finished my course. I have won the race. I have completed the work that God gave me to do. I am ready for death." If we choose to dwell in the stronghold of God, the Hashem, the great and mighty, all excellent, knowing God, the one who is good, who wants to lavish us with the great extravagance of his love and grace and mercies and compassions, if we will dwell with him, he builds such a stronghold around us that if we are walking in his righteousness, in the righteousness of Jesus, that we can live out our days and walk among the living, finishing the work that God has called us to do. Oh, but the ruin to those who are workers of iniquity is quick. The ruin of the workers of iniquity is swift. Even God has placed governments and laws in the lands of nations to punishments upon the workers of iniquity. Our commentary, we will be looking at Rabbi Mizuto's. God's way will strengthen the innocent. One who goes on God's path, that is, it will defend him or her in the heavenly court. Before we go to the latter part of the quote, we can look at this. Satan is there as the prosecutor. Jesus is our defense lawyer. And Satan goes before the court. Look at this. And God opens up the book. And Jesus said, what is written there? The book is clean, for you've been washed in my blood. And Satan's left going, but. There is no but when it comes to the blood of Jesus. We, by the defense of the blood of Jesus, can come to the heavenly court and be declared innocent and righteous through Jesus Christ. But Rabbi Mizuto says, God's way is a ruin to evildoers who flout it, and it brings retribution upon them. It prosecutes them in the heavenly court. The wicked have nothing to say, for they have no defense. Now it's the opposite. Jesus is the prosecutor, and their defense is Satan. And Jesus says, guilty as charged, the sentence is to hell and the lake of fire for the wicked. There is no resolve for the wicked unless in this life they repent and turn their heart to Jesus. Verse 30. A righteous one will never falter, but the wicked will not dwell tranquilly in the land. This verse is very interesting. A righteous one will never falter. We know that as saints of God, our sinful nature rises up against us. The world and the world system rises up against us. Satan and his kingdom of darkness rises up against us. With temptation after temptation after temptation, and we falter at times and we sin. But 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says that if we confess our sins, that God is faithful and just through Jesus Christ to forgive us of our sins and wash us in the blood of Jesus. And we're restored back into the righteousness of God. Literally, in Jesus Christ, we cannot falter. I see this as faltering, meaning that we would be expedited to hell and the lake of fire. It's not for the saints of God. Oh, we will be going before the judgment seat of Christ, and we'll be judged by our works, whether good or bad, but the blood of Jesus still cleanses us. If your continually moving in the direction of walking in Christ. Though you may sidestep here and there and sin here and there, He will not condemn you as long as you confess, make sure you're washed in the blood. And Jesus knows our faults. By His grace, we're continually kept in His righteousness. Does His grace then give us a license to sin? Absolutely not. There are those that will say that you can do whatever you want because God's grace is always there. Absolutely not. Jesus Himself said, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity," in Matthew chapter 7, between verses 21 to 23. So it is evident that we must walk the walk, and we won't falter to the depths of hell. But the wicked will not dwell tranquilly in the land. Tranquility. Utopia is another word that we could use. Utopia. Everybody is looking for utopia, but it can never be found outside of Jesus Christ. Well, the wicked can never dwell in tranquility in the land or in utopia. They're always in turmoil. As we would say, they go from one drama to the next drama to the next drama. There continually is drama in their life. There's no tranquility. There's no utopia in their life. Utopia, tranquility, peace, joy, gladness, they're all enveloped in the Lord Jesus Christ. Rabbi Hirsch says that a tzaddik, now remember, a tzaddik is a Torah scholar, one who studies the scripture. Anybody can be a Torah scholar if they study the scriptures daily and put it into practice in their life. A tzaddik is like a tree. Even if the wind blows its branches back and forth, the roots underground are steadfast, and the tree returns to its upright position. So too, despite the storms of life, the righteous remain firm, for they are anchored by their strong roots, quote unquote, from Rabbi Hirsch. As long as we are anchored in Jesus Christ, no matter what the storms of life there may be, we cannot be uprooted. We will always bounce back to an upright position. We will be able to walk and stand firm and stand steadfast in the faith if we will stay anchored in Jesus Christ. Now, Rabbi Mitzuda says, the wicked will not endure in the land for long. Their success in this world is only temporary. Many, many, many rich men and women refused to repent to the very last breath and entered hell. They had success in life, but not success where it truly counts. A successful person in life is one who chooses the salvation of God in Jesus Christ alone and walks the walk of faith in Christ and lives for God. The rewards in the present life as well as in the world to come is greater than anything that those of the wicked would ever receive in this life, and definitely not in the life to come. For in the life to come, they're looking forward to eternity of eternal punishment. Verse 31. The mouth of a righteous one will speak wisdom, but a tongue of the perversities will be cut off. The mouth of a righteous one will speak wisdom. Saints of God, let us retrain our tongue by the word of God, that we will speak with wisdom, that we will speak in the righteousness that God has placed or imputed upon us through Jesus Christ. Let's retrain our tongues to speak that which is life, and life more abundantly through Jesus Christ, rather than the things of this world, the things of the flesh, the things of the kingdom of darkness that is death. For therein, when we speak life, when we speak life into others, we speak life into ourselves, we're speaking longevity in our lives. We're speaking that which will bring health to our bones. Why did the scriptures earlier in the book of Proverbs say health to our bones and marrow? The marrow inside the bones is what produces your blood. It is where the blood is made, is in the marrow of the bone. The very life that is in you is made within your marrow, inside your bone. To speak words of life. Ah, but the tongue of perversities, or the tongue of the perverse, the wicked, will be cut off. There isn't a single wicked person who can speak perversities and they won't be cut off. If we took some famous wicked ones, they were cut off. Hitler, Saddam Hussein, Pol Pot, Mao Tse-tung, the crazy dictators over in North Korea, Osama bin Laden. We could go on and on and on and on and just name person after person with their wicked tongue and their perversities, and they were cut off. You may even know some that are of this within your own life. They're cut off. They may have died at an early age. They might have lived to an old age. But they're cut off. Many of the words, people don't even speak. For their words were death rather than life. Rabbi Bacha has our first quote. A righteous person is compared to a tree. A tree produces both leaves and fruit. Through fruit in its main product, The leaf serves a function by providing shade to protect the fruit from heat. So too, a righteous person produces both leaves and fruit. The leaves represent his speech in everyday mundane matters, like the leaf that never withers. Such speech is of great value. Even the mundane conversation of Torah scholars requires study. The fruit represents the speech of the righteous in Torah, which is of primary importance, just as the fruit is the primary product of the tree. A righteous person has so accustomed himself to speak wisdom issues from his or her mouth like fruit. What a beautiful quote. Fruit. It sustains life. It has properties within it that nourishes your body. So you can be one who nourishes another. And by nourishing another in the Torah, you can nourish yourself as well. Yet on the other hand, Rabbi Mizuto says, the tongue of the wicked who pervert the truth of Torah, Isman, remember Chokmah's wisdom, into heresy will be cut off. There was an atheist, a well-known atheist, who passed away within this last year or so, somewhere within 1 to 5 years. I don't remember his name, but what I do remember that he was in utter despair because he was dying, yet he would not repent. He would not repent even to his very last breath. He wanted to continue to speak, there is no God, there is no God. His heresies against the wisdom of God was cut off. Our final verse for today, verse 32, and we are finishing chapter 10 as anticipated. The lips of a righteous one know how to appease God, but the mouth of the wicked knows perversities. As a Tzaddik, a Torah scholar, as one who is made righteous through Jesus Christ, as we study the Torah, the fullness of the Word of God, we begin to know how to speak with lips of righteousness and to appease God. We worship God. We adore God. We speak of God in a way that is fearing God, to honor, reverence, and respect God. We know how to appease God when He becomes angry with us because we sinned. And His anger is always abated when we confess our sins and get washed in the blood of Jesus. And then He comes through His grace and His extravagant love, through His mercies and compassions, and He grabs us around His arms and hugs us, stores us to Himself through the blood in the name of Jesus. But the mouth of the wicked, in that person's perverse speech, even to their very last breath, will be cursing God. There's an old saying in my BC days that is still being spoken today. Man, we're going to have a great party when we get to hell. It's going to be party, party, party. There will be nonstop booze and drugs and women and, oh, yeah, party hardy time in hell. We will have a blast. What foolishness by the perversities of their mouths. for they don't even really know what is in store for them in hell. Hell is punishment. The word of God speaks of the screamings, where the worm dieth not, where the fire does not go out, where the tongue cannot be quenched in the fire. What perversities of the wicked they speak as they enter into eternal punishment. And they realize they do not have any words to speak thereafter. Rabbi Yonah gives us our first quote. He says this verse is connected to the previous one. Even though the mouth of the righteous one will speak wisdom, and he or she speaks only truth, he or she will bend the truth for the sake of bringing peace among people. This is in line with the dictum of the sages, coming from an ancient writing called Yavamas. And then he goes and further says that the mouth of the wicked, on the other hand, constantly sides with falsehood, favoring the guilty party in an argument and supporting his or her lies. Perversity of the wicked. Now, Rabbi Vilna Gaon goes and says, a Tzaddik who has wronged someone, this is a Torah scholar, knows how to appease the person and ask his or her forgiveness. He or she regrets his or her wrongdoing and expresses his or her apology so sincerely that the person forgives him or her immediately. However, when the wicked person comes to appease the one he or she has wronged, he or she speaks perversities, that is, lies and insincerities. They're not even sincere in asking for forgiveness. There is no sincerity in their speech. And most people can see that. We must learn, saints of God, we must learn to walk in righteous speech, righteous ways. Retrain our tongue as well as retrain our thinking so that we will have the mind of Christ and speaking the things of Christ rather than the way of the wicked. And that is where we will close today. Next week, Wednesday, next week, Thursday, we will pick up with verse 1 of chapter 11. Again, if you have any questions, please go to my Facebook page, David C. Allman. Make sure you see in parentheses below, Pastor David C. Allman, SR for senior. Make sure that when you post questions that you will tag me so that I will readily see your questions and your posts. Because I receive several hundred posts per day, I would not see it if you did not tag me. So please tag me. Let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you that you're teaching us that we should speak with righteous words, that we should speak in the ways that you desire us to speak, and that we should walk in the ways of righteousness and holiness in the fear of you, Lord God. Guide us, Lord God, to depart from any way that would be considered wicked and perverse before you, Lord God. May you have your way with each one of us and seal these words upon our heart and provoke us to dwell within the ways of your kingdom and according to the ways of your written word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Do not forget to go to church this Sunday. Assemble with the saints of God and worship God together. Hear the preaching and teaching of His Word and take what you're learning and apply it into our lives. Remember, to be a Torah scholar, to be a Tzaddik, study the Torah, the fullness of the Word of God daily. And may God bless you beyond measure. Until next week, be blessed, everyone.